WNST, Taos of Baltimore, and we're Baltimore Positive. We have taken a break from the crab cake thing this week because I have the crab races at Fadley's on Wednesday. I am jockeying a crab in the Preakness Crab Shuffle. Come on down to Lexington Market on Wednesday at lunchtime and continue the tradition of one-time Mayor William Donald Schaefer. We'll be giving away scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. I know I have them around here. The instant lottery, I just have bags full of these. John Martin, Roz, they give them to me. We had tons of winners last week as well. We had a beautiful show over at State Fair on a Friday afternoon. It was glorious. Bill Weedell from CFG Bank, my pal Josh Levine from Electra DJs, talking bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs. And Luke will love this because he had a Hulk Hogan bar mitzvah. Bat mitzvah. Sorry, I'm mixing things up. Bar mitzvah. I got that right. But he had a Hulk Hogan one back in the 90s, and Hulk Hogan actually signed his shirt. So Josh has a wrestling story for the Luke Jones heart. We also had a good time with Chris Pica, who is back from XFL duties. And we talked a lot about TV and media and Lamar and the Ravens and spring off season. We will get to that with Luke Jones. Our friends at Window Nation also putting us out on the road. We're going to be at the local on the 23rd up in Falston. That's next Tuesday, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation back out. But we did have a good time over in Catonsville. We're looking forward to getting back over there at El Guapo. I still haven't had any of that pit beef at Evans Joint over there in Catonsville. Luke, I've done everything. I've talked football, crab cakes, spring cleaning, seal concerts, all sorts of things. But it's like a real baseball season here. Like, I know when the games are. I know whether they're on Masson 1 or 2. Even when I'm at a seal concert, I'm checking the app. I did go into an Irish bar down in D.C. and asked for the baseball game, and they put the Nationals on. I thought that was kind of weird on Wednesday down there. But how are you, man? A wild, wild Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to your sister, your mom, to everybody out there. But you were busy chasing pennant race baseball, something you've been waiting about 15 years to do around here, I think, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll continue to not forget the Buck Showalter era, but it's been exciting. And it's been, I mean, every time you look at this team, and we talked about this a lot at the end of the Tampa Bay series last week, that, you know, you see a couple losses. They lost three in a row for the first time last week when we were talking about the Atlanta series. And
I already forgotten about that. You got to bring that up already.
No, I'm bringing it up because of how this team answers and bounces back. And I mean, a great example over the weekend of how quickly it can go the other way is the team that was in town facing the Orioles. So over the weekend, I mean, you look at where Pittsburgh was 2 weeks ago.
They thought they were good.
Yeah. And I mean, they're a team that's been rebuilding and doing that a little bit more for the better part of the
last. I call it the ghost of Bobby Bonilla is what I call it. But yes.
Yeah, I mean, for the better part of the last 30 years. I mean, that's where the Pirates have been. And I mean, you know, one of the teams out there that's probably been worse than the Orioles over the last 30 years, which, you know, is saying something.
They're hard to find. They are.
But you look at where they were 2 weeks ago and where they are now. And yes, they did get the win on Sunday, and Mitch Keller pitched great. And he's been a major bright spot for them, but you know, they've completely fallen off and fallen apart over the last 2 weeks. So my point was that, you know, the Orioles went through that stretch with Atlanta and then the opener of the Tampa Bay series. And you're saying, okay, well, they just lost three in a row to the top two teams in baseball, but then they came right back and they won the last two of that series against the Rays. And they carry that momentum right into the weekend against the Pirates. And, you know, you mentioned about the enthusiasm, you know, look at the crowds over the weekend, not sellouts, not saying that they're at that point, but
they have the right people going to the games.
They had.
Can I just say that they have the people who are going to go to the games, mm-hmm. the people who have been waiting at home, who are engaged. Dennis Colazzo's being one of them. I'll have Leonard mm-hmm. Raskin on. Shohei Ohtani pitching this week. All the Preakness week. You know, tickets are $10. It says right on the screen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's really $10. I haven't clicked on it to see whether it's 28 by the time
right.
Ticketmaster comes in with the mafia. But I would say. The squirting thing, dude, I don't get it. I didn't get the pie thing, right? And I'm not a teetotaler. I'm not against fun. I like fun, and I don't get it. But if people are enjoying it, I'll wave the flag and say 2 points for TJ Brightman. Takedown is what I would say. If they're selling tickets for people who want to get soaked by some goofy guy with a hose, if that's And they want to put that on TV and make that the pie. Get it sponsored by Liberty Pure Water and go have at it. I mean, if it gets people downtown and it gets them excited, and nobody's being harmed, maybe getting wet, I'm all for it.
Exactly. It's all about casting as wide a net as you can, right? I mean, you're trying to attract people. And yes, ultimately, and I've said this over and over to you, and we've talked about this for years, winning is still going to be paramount to really getting people enthused, getting people to buy in. But there are other ways in the process of winning and hopefully winning more and continuing to win for the long haul, whether it's the bird bath section or whether it's certain giveaways here or there or kids running the bases after Sunday home games, all those different things. They're all attracting different types of demographics to the ballpark. And I think what you saw over the weekend with that, and they drew, I think it was just under 26,000 on Friday night, even had an opportunity. My pastor was at the game. He's a Pittsburgh fan. Now,
Remind him that he lost.
Exactly. But he's the one that I will fraternize with.
First time in our relationship. I don't even know your pastor, but I feel like I've had a relationship because I lived through 1979. I remember it all.
But I had a chance. He was sitting in the upper deck right behind home plate. I went upstairs to sit with him for an inning or two. And the ballpark, other than left field upper deck, which, they've closed off the last couple years, just because, and hopefully they get to a point where they're opening that back up.
Where I led the walk at and the walk in. I used to sell all the tickets up there, and then we led the walk out from up there. Now it's closed down. I assume it'll be a bar at some point, right? I mean, aren't all the stadiums turning things into perches? Isn't that when John gets his money from Wes, and it'll be a deck of so it'll be something glorious before it's all over with, right? In Seattle, you know what they've done? They've turned it into a perch where you watch the sunset. I mean, it's the place to be in Seattle. Everybody's up there smoking cannabis and but I've been to Seattle. Seattle's turned their worst seats into the place where everybody wants to be.
Well, and that's the reality. And I don't want to get too far off track here, but a 45,000 seat ballpark at this point, is that really the best way to use the space? Or do you make it, 39 or 40 and you transform some areas of the ballpark like that, for example? So
they did that out on the deck in center field, and it's been an incredible success. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so other than that, though, going back to Friday night, other than those sections out in left field upper deck, I mean, the ballpark was pretty darn full. I mean, when you're up behind home plate on the third level, you really see most of the ballpark, and it was full.
I'll say this, for you sitting with your pastor up there, does your pastor go every year or just to the Pirates?
I mean, he'll try to go to like one game a year.
But what I'm saying is he had an experience on Friday night. That was a full, rich experience. You go down, there are real people there, there's a real game. Dude, you sat down there for seasons at a time where that didn't even happen once. Maybe bobblehead night or Jim Palmer plaque night or whatever. But to come to the ballpark, to be from Pennsylvania, be a little older, come once a year, come down, to have a rich experience, that's so, so important for people coming back. Some people haven't been back since the Tank Circle, the building, and they played for nobody. You know what I mean? Some people haven't been in a long, long time, or they went 5 years ago and don't remember or whatever.
Right.
But it is where you grab your beer now. Things have changed. I went opening day. It feels like a different experience than the Peter Principles.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, you have that. And then on Friday night, when you have that kind of an atmosphere and that kind of crowd, you have Cedric Mullins hit for the cycle then. And to see that, and I was able to capture the video. You could check it out on Twitter. It kind of went viral. The ovation that he got. It's weird now with the pitch timer, right? Those spontaneous moments where you step out of the box and your teammate gets a curtain call coming out of the dugout, you don't really know how to handle that part of it, right? So that didn't really happen.
When Trey Mancini comes back here, what do they do?
Well, I mean,
step out of the – they don't – the pitch clock goes away for a minute, right?
I'm not entirely sure, but the way it worked out perfectly, though, was he hits the three-run homer in the bottom of the eighth to make the game 6-2, and then – everyone else in the dugout going out to play defense for the top of the ninth, they stayed back for a few moments. And Cedric Mullins ran out by himself, and he got a standing ovation. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, you can check it out on my Twitter and see that. But you get that kind of an experience when you come to the ballpark. And as you mentioned, whether it's been 9 years, whether it's been since the pandemic, whether it's just been that, you know, you've only gone once a year over the last 5 years. But if you were there Friday night, you saw that was an experience. That was a memory right there. And it's not as though they haven't had some guys hit for the cycle here in recent years, because they have. But, you know, knowing what Cedric Mullins has meant to them the last few years, and, you know, being an all-star 2 years ago and being one of those guys that was there from the beginning of this rebuild. You know, he arrived in the majors in 18 as Adam Jones was leaving. And to see him get that moment in the midst of the Orioles playing, you can't say first place baseball because of the Rays, but they're playing first place caliber baseball because they have the second best record. But you know, that was special, and that
it
was
made
the kind
me
of
wistful
game that,
for my Felix Papai jersey that I gave away to Goodwill a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? Because I saw Bob Watson hit for the cycle in 79 or 80 as a Red Sox at Memorial Stadium. Dude, I still remember it. You don't see a lot of cycles. I went to a lot of ball games in the 90s and the aughts, a lot of ball games, 100, 120 a year sometimes. And seeing somebody hit for the cycles really, really, the triple's really tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at Camden Yards. Maybe that'll change. Maybe that's going to change. And we're seeing that change with left field being so big. And you've always had the right field corner that, you know, it can be tricky. You hit one down the right field line, the right fielder's playing off the line, and, you know, rattles around in there a little bit. You could see a triple, but not too many of them over the years at Camden Yards. But that was fun. It's funny you just mentioned that. I've seen Mullins now, Austin Hayes hit for the cycle last year. Jonathan Villar did it a few years ago. I feel like I've seen has to be one or two opposing hitters do it. You know, since I've been covering the team going back to 2010, you know, I still haven't seen a no hitter in person, but I've seen multiple cycles, and you see something like that though on Friday night.
Walked out of a no hitter once, Luke.
It's true. It's true. But you see something like that, and it's just, you're apt to want to come back. And I mean, they're winning. And again, they win another series in 26-14. And now you have Ohtani and the Angels coming in, and there'll be some juice for that. Grayson Rodriguez going against him and seeing if he can take a series against an Angels team that hasn't been great. You know, they're not bad, but they're not great either. So it's just, I mean, it's exciting. And, you know, it's still early. I want to continue to remind everyone about that. And you say that whether you're talking about good things or bad things. And there's still guys on this team scuffling. And, you know, Jorge Mateo looked like an MVP in April, and he's really been scuffling in May. But it's part of the ebbs and flows of a baseball season. But you look at this team and where they stand right now and the kind of territory they find themselves in, and knowing what they're, you know, how they're positioning themselves to go forward now through the final three quarters of the season. It's going to be a really fun summer. And I mean, what more can you ask for on the heels of the surprise of last year, but still wondering, okay, that was so much fun. There's optimism. There's certainly reason to think that this team's turned the corner, but you don't really know until you get into the next season. And for them to start off the way that they have, how can you not be excited about it? And I mean, it's fun. And as you mentioned, it's becoming more and more appointment viewing for lots and lots of people who did not feel that way about the Orioles, at least going back to, say, 2017.
Well, a couple things. Angels are in town this week. And by the way, people listen to this show. I mean, they really do. Like, they listen to this radio station. They read our work. They read your work. I had a guy run me down last week and say, hey, you walked out of a no-hitter. Which one was it? I had to say, Bud Smith, Labor Day, 03, Jack Murphy Stadium. Might have been called Qualcomm then, or it certainly wasn't Petco. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We do like talking baseball. My last name is still Aparicio. I went to Janet Jackson, courtesy of our friends at CFG Bank, the other night, and people were talking baseball with me there. The baseball games were on in all everywhere. There was a TV. You know, I came back to pee and grab a drink, and Bautista's got one out in the ninth, and place is going crazy, and I'm at the show. Janet Jackson's like doing pleasure principle, and Weidel gets his text, Orioles win, it's a final now. So, you know, I could rest easy and focus on Janet Jackson doing Rhythm Nation and doing all the things. Dude, the city's coming to life. My kid went to see Six at the Hippodrome on Sunday night. You've been downtown five times this week. Janet Jackson was downtown. Anita Baker, what do you know anything about Anita Baker? I mean, would you know anything about Anita Baker?
No.
I love Anita Baker, right? I reviewed Anita Baker in 1987. She was a bit of an Oprah personality who could really sing 35 years ago. She has sung songs. She played Afram a couple years ago down in the parking lot. I actually listened from my condo with the window open because I didn't go over, but I love Anita Baker. It was, and I'm not making this up. I mean, I'm being, you know, I'm sincere. It was the toughest ticket in the history of Baltimore concerts. I've never seen a ticket. Dude, it was a $290 get-in. It was a Mother's Day show where everybody would want to take their mother to see it. Anita. So all of this downtown's toxic and nobody will come downtown. And we, the Inner Harbor and Port Covington and Lexington, like all the things that I talk about with Baltimore Positive on a weekend where all these people come downtown and people are into this. And then on Monday, I'm going to see John Waite do the it's Preakness Week. It's Preakness Week here in our city. This is the biggest week of the year. It was for 100 years. And Ohtani's in town. And if you can't see him pitch on Monday, which I'll be watching John Waite saying singing Missing You and Change and all those songs I love over at Guinness with some of my rock and roll buddies. But, I mean, he's going to play the outfield. I mean, the most famous baseball player on earth and a guy who – talk about Babe Ruth's statue outside and the things I've seen. Jim Abbott is still the most amazing thing I've ever seen in baseball. I'll just continue to say that. Mm-hmm. Inspirational for a guy who's lost a finger to not have an arm. It's a whole different deal. But other than that, Dion and our dear friend Brian Jordan, you know, playing a couple of sports, and Bo Jackson, Jeff Perlman wrote the book on him. This Ohtani thing, it feels like I haven't seen him play. I had a chance to see him pitch in New York last year, and I didn't go. He played here last year. He's played here a couple of years. This is the chance to go see the most famous baseball. Two of them, add Trout in there. But yeah, Let's just stick with Ohtani, that they're not very good as a team, and they haven't been. But to see a player, when the Angels would come to town, my dad would make sure I go see Nolan Ryan or Frank Tanana pitch.
I had to laugh at as you just threw Trout in there because he's not a future Hall of Famer or anything like that. But you're right. I mean,
I drank beer with him at 3 a.m. after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So I like Mike Trout. He was nice to me. He was cool.
Yeah. No, I mean Mike Trout over the last 20 years, you know, kind of think about it in the context of post Barry Bonds. I mean, Mike Trout, if you're talking about a well-rounded player, he's been it.
And Zora Weaver would say he's going to the effing Hall of Fame.
He is. He is. He could stop playing today and there would be no doubt about it. But Shohei Ohtani is different. And it's so funny. I talk about this, you know, I talk baseball with my family, and a lot of times I just feel like they're humoring me because, you know, it's just when it's your livelihood, you talk about it constantly, even when you're not working. But he really is incredible. And it's one of those things that, and how much of it is, you know, because he's playing out in Anaheim and the Angels haven't been good and West Coast and all those different things. But as much as we do talk about him, and you and I have talked about Ohtani plenty of times over the last few years, we still don't talk enough about him. That's how incredible it is and what he does. So to have this opportunity to see him pitch, and then, you know, he's going to, you know, he'll pitch and then he'll – you know, go back to being the DH and hit over the next few days after that. It really is remarkable. And it's one thing to talk about someone doing both, you know, you just mentioned a few guys, Dion, Brian Jordan, guys that played baseball and football, right? And look, I mean, Dion's a Hall of Fame, you know, pro football Hall of Famer. And you know, he wasn't a tremendous baseball player, but he was a tremendously talented athlete and did impressive things on the baseball.
He could have played in the big leagues for 15 years and hit 278 and stole 42 bases. And I don't know if he'd have been a Hall of Famer, but he would have been a multiple All-Star.
Right,
He would have been.
Well, but there was always that thought of what? And Bo Jackson, the same thing was said. What if he would focus on one or the other, right? Ohtani's doing both. And he's doing both at such a high level.
I bet he would kick your ass at ping pong, Ohtani, right? I mean, like, I bet
he's the guy that's, yeah, he would beat you at everything, right? I mean, it could be shoots and ladders that he would kick your butt. I mean, that's just how incredible he is and his story is. And again, just to do both is impressive in and of itself. But to do both at such a high level, to talk about someone that you put in that MVP and Cy Young Award category, it's just – it's utterly remarkable. And look, I don't know how long he's going to be able to do this to this degree at this high level. I don't know how long that's going to last. You would think at some point that will start, he'll start to wear down.
At some point,
the
pitching would fall off and somebody get to him in his ERA before, right? Like
something like that.
You can't make this look sub three ERA, go out every fifth day, take the ball and do it for two, three, four, five. I mean, to your point, the hitting, okay, but once you're 32, 33, you know, do you move him to the bullpen? I don't know what you do. I mean, I really don't know what the – because it's almost like having Mark Karolkowski, who was the star of our baseball team with Butch, where you'd be like, all right, on the days he doesn't pitch, can you bring him in the seventh inning? He's going to back clean up. So he can back clean up, play the outfield. Can he come in and pitch in the ninth and save us in it? I don't know, but from a managerial standpoint, it's like having an extra queen on the board playing chess.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And we even saw that, if you recall the championship of the WBC, remember, they were kind of figuring out, okay, when's he going to go out to the bullpen to start warming up? But, hey, he's due up fourth in this inning.
So right field.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, typically DHs. You know, he hasn't played much outfield. But it really is incredible. And, look, when I say that, I am not saying that to doubt him or his ability to do this, however long he's going to do it at this level. It's to enjoy it. It's to not wait for that other shoe to drop. It's to enjoy it however long it lasts at this level. I mean, it really is incredible. And for anyone who's a baseball fan who cares at all about the history of the game, and we've always talked about Babe Ruth in this context, right? Babe Ruth could have been a Hall of Fame pitcher if he had stuck with it with the Red Sox, but you know, they saw his bat being so valuable and you know, he became an outfielder and sold to the Yankees, rest is history. But to now experience this in the modern day and for him to not just, again, if he just did it and he was a league average pitcher, if he was just a league average starter, that would be incredible and his value would be extraordinary even being able to do that.
How do you think all these guys feel about him who try to do it every fifth day and can't? At that level, the big league guy, you know, the Gibsons and these guys we see, you know, been hanging around forever, just trying to have 1 year as good as he is, right?
Or
one with a sub three ERA in May, you feel really good about your April, right?
Yeah, either that or any of these hitters who might put up the offensive numbers he does, but they struggle to play first base or left field or third base, and yet you see him do what he does on defense, you know, every fifth day as a pitcher. I mean, again, you know, we're gushing over this guy, but he deserves that. That's how incredible this is. That's why him getting that moment in the WBC and going up against Trout in that championship, even though that was March, I mean, anyone who watched that, I mean, that was just, it was extraordinary. And that's where you look at this thing and, you know, we're going to see where his future lies and what's going to happen there. And I mean, think about it. This guy's going to become a free agent, Nestor, presumably.
Yankees.
Yankees. No, but my
Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I'm not disagreeing, but how do
you value? Well, now they have a DH in the National League. It makes it, you know.
Oh, absolutely. But how
do you value?
The Phillies
want to pony up. Here we go, you know.
But think about it. How do you value someone like that? Think about it in terms of, okay, he hits every night.
You know, I want to meet his agent.
I mean, think about it. You're talking about a big time slugger, but oh yeah, he's also a great starting pitcher. I mean, it really, you know, was he going to get $50 million a year? I'm asking a serious question.
And then what do you expect that of him? When you make that deal with him, do you expect, how much do you expect him to do this for 5 years or 7 years? Because somebody's going to give him $400 million, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that might be on the very low end compared to what he's ultimately going to get. But that's what is tough because of what I just said. And again, it's not to doubt him. It's to just
give him the raise. The franchise isn't worth that much, right?
Right, exactly.
the raise,
and he can move. He can play wherever he wants. The franchise will follow him, right?
Yeah, well, right. We'll
he
move
can
the
play
team
in Japan
to Reno.
If he wants to.
We'll move the Athletics to Reno.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really is remarkable. And again, I don't – when I – mention projecting him out, it's because there is no precedent. I mean, even Babe Ruth only did that for, you know, basically 4 years, you know, and then he became an outfielder and sold to the Yankees. So you can tell I'm excited to see this guy pitch. This will be the first time I've seen him pitch in person. I've seen him hit and play as a DH several times at this point.
You're making me feel guilty because I've already seen John Waite sing these songs. So like all of a sudden you're making me feel like I really need to get, but it's not a, I mean, he's going to pitch again and he'll probably pitch in Baltimore again.
Yeah.
Probably
Yeah. I
several
mean,
times over the next 10
hopefully.
years.
Well, and especially with the schedule being what it is now, that is what, as much as interleague play lost its novelty years and years ago, now you are at a point where you play every team every year. So even if they're not coming to Baltimore, chances are, you know, the following year, you know, it's going to be one of those deals. So wherever he's playing, whether it's with the Angels or most likely probably moving on, you know, here in the not too distant future, it's going to be exciting. But on the flip side, and this is where Orioles fans will say, hey, don't forget about Grayson Rodriguez. You get to see Grayson Rodriguez against Otani. And
his ERA is not under 5 right now, so we can't talk about him.
Understood. Like, but there's still what he means for the future and the optimism and just excitement about the young players on this club in general. So, yeah, Monday night, I don't know what the crowd will look like, but anyone who's there, they are in for a treat.
I should get us a couple of $10 tickets, and you and I should go out and be jackasses in the outfield, get squirted one night. It just has to be above like 75 degrees. I've been squirted in the outfield before in a suit. It wasn't a lot of fun, you know, especially when you don't know it's coming. But there's the anniversary of that coming up this week too. 20th anniversary of that. Wow, yeah, we're getting up on years, but yeah, the enthusiasm around all of this. It's heartwarming for me because I fought for this. And I said to Mike Elias, I'm not the bad guy. I was the guy holding them accountable to find a guy like you to run it. So I'm all for it. I think we're into a spring where I talk Baltimore positive 5 years before anybody else is talking Baltimore positive. But a spring now where we're seeing real changes downtown, people coming downtown, people being a part of downtown. Janet Jackson sold out. Anita Baker sold out. Just Blink-182 sold out. Just on and on and on. That over the next 3-6 months, Lamar Jackson, football's around the corner too, that we're building something. We're building something for the city that the baseball team should be about. And I have said, and I will write this at some point soon, because I've been doing some writing, that I just wanted to get it right. Don't F this up. We waited 30 years to get this fixed. If the old man's eating pudding, run the place the right way. I mean, the old man wouldn't have gone for this squirt thing. He'd have seen that on TV, and that just would have been the end of it. It's an insurance. They're having fun. $10. I mean, that's why this sucked for 30 years. It doesn't suck right now. Let's keep it that way. And they don't have to win the World Series. They just have to be fun. They have to make my summer worthwhile. That's
you
all.
You just said something as it pertained to not just the Orioles, but everything else going out down. And I think back to the movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. There are things that people want to see, and they're going to see it. Imagine that, a novel concept, and it's very exciting, and it's fun to be downtown and to certainly be checking out the Orioles these days.
Well, give me the little goggles that you real reporters wear when they have the champagne and all that, and we'll wear those out into the outfield, and I'll get an orange parka. Luke Jones, you can find him at Baltimore. Luke, I'm not too old to have fun. You know, it looks like people are having fun, and fun is what it's all about. Shohei Ohtani's in town. It is Preakness Week around here. I have a whole bunch of legends, Dick Girardi, Marty McGee. Because I cannot have Clem Florio on this week, because I cannot have some of the old dearly departed Charlie Lambs and people, but instead I'm going to chase down Ross Petticord and some other horse racing legends this week. It's Preakness Week around here. Bob Baffert, the whole deal. John Waite's in town. We got Bruno Mars is playing on Saturday. I didn't even want to believe that, but the real Bruno Mars from Hawaii will be singing and shaking on Saturday out in the infield. It's a big, big week. It's springtime around here. And Lamar's a Raven. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking baseball in Baltimore Positive.